Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our eyes and ears to hear your word for us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, certainly it feels like no sooner have we finished singing Silent Night, but then the fighting begins again in our readings. And you're probably there thinking, what is the vicar thinking of having such a horrible reading as Matthew chapter 2, or the second half of Matthew chapter 2, on a songs of praise morning? So if you are thinking that, those two readings are lifted directly from the lectionary, the Church of England set readings for today. And when I looked at them, I thought, you know, you read Psalm 148, and I thought, perfect. What a perfect reading for a songs of praise service. The whole psalm is about praise. And then I read the Matthew passage. Oh dear. And I was so tempted to choose a completely different second reading, I'll tell you. And then I thought, do you know, there must be a reason why those two readings are together in the lectionary. So I need to wrestle with this. Maybe we all need to wrestle with this. Psalm 148 is one of the most exuberant songs in all of Scripture. It's like a cosmic shout of joy. Everything is summoned to praise God. Angels and stars, sun and moon, sea creatures and storms, mountains, hills, animals, birds, rulers and children alike. Nothing and nobody is excluded. The psalm doesn't argue or explain, it simply commands praise. As if praise were the most natural thing in the universe. Creation exists because God spoke, and so creation responds by singing back. And then we turn to Matthew's gospel, and the mood could not be more different. We leave the music of the heavens and we enter the terror of the earth. Joseph is warned in a dream to flee. A ruler, afraid of losing power, lashes out in violence, as they so often do. Families are shattered, children are killed. Rachel weeps for her children and will not be comforted. How many times have we seen those pictures in the news? It's hard to imagine two readings that feel more at odds. Psalm 148 seems to belong to a world where everything is in harmony. Matthew 2, to a world that's broken by fear and cruelty and injustice. And that tension raises an honest and really understandable question for people of faith. How can we praise God in the midst of a cruel world? How do we sing Psalm 148 when we're standing in Matthew 2? One temptation is to pretend that cruelty is not real. We bury our head in the sand. We might try to stay in the psalm and never look at Herod. We might speak only of joy and beauty and avoid the pain of the world. But Scripture doesn't let us do that. And I think the lectionary gives us these two readings side by side, because real faith must face both wonder and suffering, praise and pain. Another temptation is the opposite, to let cruelty have the final word and say this world is so broken that praise is inappropriate. It feels dishonest or naive at best. And so we fall silent because grief seems the most appropriate response rather than song. I remember some years ago now, January 2010, there was a terrible earthquake in Haiti. Don't know if you remember. And I remember seeing pictures on the news of the people in Haiti on the following Sunday after this earthquake had flattened their town. standing in the street amongst the rubble, having their church service and praising God. And I was watching the TV and thinking, how can they do that? How, look around them, how can they be singing God's praises when this has happened to them? Because Scripture won't let us take that opposite temptation and let cruelty have the final word. It won't let us do that either. Psalm 148 doesn't come with conditions. It doesn't say, praise the Lord when life is fair, or when rulers are just, or when children are safe. It simply says, praise the Lord. So how do we hold those two things together? The first thing is to notice that Psalm 148 doesn't deny the reality of chaos in the world. It includes fire and hail and snow, fog and stormy wind, fulfilling God's command. Those aren't gentle images. They're reminders that creation itself is wild and unpredictable and sometimes dangerous. Praise in the Bible isn't rooted in a tame, perfect world. It rises from a world that is powerful and untamed and often frightening. Praise then is not the absence of darkness. It's a response to God within a world that includes darkness and chaos. And now think again about Matthew 2. God doesn't stop Herod with a lightning bolt. There's no dramatic rescue of the children. We wish with all our hearts that there was. Instead, God works quietly, vulnerably, and painfully. God warns Joseph in a dream, and thank the Lord that Joseph is a man who always pays attention to his dreams time and time again. He's warned in a dream, and God himself becomes a refugee, escaping violence, not by overpowering it, but by fleeing from it. And that's crucial to remember, because the God that we're asked to praise in Psalm 148 is the same God who in Matthew 2 refuses to rule through fear and force. Herod clings to power by destroying others. God chooses another way. God enters the world as a child who must be carried, protected, and hidden. God's response to cruelty is not cruelty in return, but solidarity with the vulnerable. And I think that changes what praise means. Much like when we thought about Christ's peace last week, praise isn't saying everything's fine. Praise is saying God is still God, even here. And so praise is an act of trust, not denial. It's a way of aligning ourselves with God's reign rather than Herod's. When we praise God in a cruel world, we're quietly refusing to let cruelty have the last word. And Psalm 148 calls everyone and everything to praise. Kings, princes, young men and young women, old and young together. But Matthew shows us what happens when a king refuses to praise God. Herod does not sing. He panics. He hoards power. He destroys life because he can't imagine a world where he's not at the center. Praise then can be deeply political, not in the partisan sense, but in a subversive, spiritual sense. To praise God is to say there's no earthly ruler who is ultimate, no tyrant who has the final word, no system of violence is sovereign. Praise reminds us and those around us where our true loyalty lies, and it trains our hearts to see God's kingdom and recognize God's kingdom, even when the kingdoms of this world can be so cruel. That's why praise matters so much even more so perhaps when the world is cruel. Because when we praise God, we're not excusing injustice, we're naming a deeper truth. We're saying that cruelty is real, but it's not eternal. Herod's reign ends, his power collapses. Matthew tells us sort of almost quietly, after Herod died, as if to remind us that even the most terrifying rulers are temporary. God's faithfulness is not. Psalm 148 also reminds us that praise is communal. No one is asked to sing alone. All of creation praises together. And in times of suffering, that matters. When it all becomes too much for us, others around us can praise on our behalf. And ultimately, we remember that we can praise God in a cruel world because God is not distant from cruelty. He doesn't demand praise from a safe distance. God enters the danger. God shares our vulnerability. God knows what it's like to be afraid, to take flight, and knows the loss of a child personally. Praise then is not a denial of suffering. It's a declaration of hope. It's the belief that love is stronger than fear, that life is stronger than death, and that God's purposes are not defeated by human violence. We got glimpses of that in Barry's reason for choosing Silent Night. And when we sing Psalm 148 in a world like Matthew 2, we're not saying the world is as it should be. We're saying it's not as it yet will be one day. We praise because we believe God is still at work, always at work, quietly, persistently, and faithfully, bringing life out of places where Herods still seem to rule. So as we sing our praises to God today, we sing not because the world is kind, but because God is. We praise not because suffering is small, but because our God is greater. And we praise because every act of praise, however fragile, is a small act of defiance and resistance against despair. Let them praise the name of the Lord, the psalm says, even here, especially here. Amen.